to the Lord in a moment of prayer. Dearly Father, we thank you for the time that we have to come together in the study of your word and worship you. And first and foremost, Father God, I just lift up Paula Robertson, who fell and broke her hip and had to have emergency hip replacement. Lord, we just ask that you would just touch her right now, help her in that recovery process, and be with Danny, Lord, just as he takes care of her during this trying time. Let them know how much you love them, and we do as well. Also lifting up Angela Gibson, Father, who lost her sister. We just ask comfort for her and Danny and Eric during this time. And even Danielle, Father God, who is home with a stomach bug, all those that are so ill within the congregation, we just ask for a touch from your hand. And tonight, Father God, we just ask even now that you would help us start preparing our hearts for not only the study of your word, but as we remember the Lord's Supper tonight and partake of it. Lord, remove distractions from our minds and from our hearts. For the truth is, life really is but a vapor. Yet we need to seize every day that we have, because truly there is no joy found in life outside of you. Help us to truly understand that, as Solomon has told us this over and over throughout our study, that only through you do we truly have life and the ability to enjoy it. So just bless us, Father God, tonight. And it's in Jesus Christ I pray. Amen. So here in Ecclesiastes, Solomon has continually told us to do something, and that is enjoy life every day. And we do that by recognizing that it is a gift from God. Even the simple ability to enjoy life, many people don't realize that, but just the ability to enjoy each and every day, did you know that's a gift from God? That just the ability to work, the labor of our hands, that's also a gift from God. The ability to enjoy money is also a gift from God. Everything in our lives, if there's any true enjoyment, if there's any lasting satisfaction, it only comes from the Lord. But the entire time through this book, he has said, do not forget your accountability unto God. We are to fear him. That's the whole conclusion of the book. And so here in chapter 12, what we have is really a type of summary of everything that we've learned thus far. This is, I think, our 18th lesson in this series. And so for those of you who like to follow by way of outline, we're going to cover 3 points this evening. I'm going to go ahead and give them to you. The first thing that we have learned is to remember our relationship with the one true living God. To remember our relationship with God. That's verses 1 through 8. And then in verses 9 through 12, what we've realized is our reliance on God in his wisdom. We can't make it through each and every day without relying on God and his word. We need his wisdom to guide us. Amen. I mean, so important. That's what Solomon has. The wisest monarch who's ever lived is telling us to fear God. And then in verses 13 and 14, what we have learned is to recognize our responsibility, or we could say our accountability unto God. Because we will never live the life that God has for us. We will never enter into the calling that he has for us in this life without recognizing our accountability unto him. So let's just start with the first one. And as I said, this is verses 1 through 8, and about remembering our relationship to God. And he gives us 4 reasons. Let's read verse 1 again. Solomon says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. So the first reason here we are to focus, or we are to remember our relationship with God, it's very simple but very powerful. It says he is our Creator. Do we not owe our Creator everything? Man, we really do. This is more deep than I can even articulate when it says remember our Creator. God's word teaches us that we are made in the image and the likeness of God. And we are told to remember here, but that's not the opposite of forgetting. The word remember in the Hebrew Old Testament has a much deeper meaning than just remembering a fact, remembering a truth. It goes way beyond that. For example, in Genesis 30, Rachel, who was barren, prayed for a child, and it says that God remembered Rachel and opened her womb. You see, to remember is a whole lot more than just remembering a fact. You're going to see an action behind it. Or in 1 Samuel 1:19, the Lord remembered Hannah, it says, and gave her a child. Isn't God good? Who opens the womb of the barren? Or how about when God remembered the Israelites and took them out of Egypt? It says in the book of Exodus, chapter 2, 23 through 24, it says, "Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage." And this is what it says, "So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob." So in every case in God's word where we see an instance where God remembers, we have a mighty result. But also when you and I remember God, there's a powerful result as well. We see that in the life of Jonah. A lot of us have that spirit of Jonah, don't we? We want to run in the exact opposite direction God calls us. But when he was there in the belly of that great fish, Jonah said this in 2:7. He said, "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to him into your holy temple." And that's when that great fish vomited him on dry land. So remembering the Lord, like I said, it's much more than just remembering facts. It's a proper response to God in all that we think, all that we say, and all that we do. It's a level of commitment that Solomon is speaking about. We remember our Creator. As David said in Psalm 139, 13 through 15, he says, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you, and when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth." You see, what we fail to see sometimes, at least I do, I don't speak for you, but remembering God, remembering our Creator is actually a form of worshiping Him. It's actually a form of worshiping Him, of admiring Him, of saying, "God, you are the one true living God. You formed us from the dust of the ground. You breathed life into our nostrils. We are made in your image and your likeness." But remembering God, is that the natural tendency of us? No, it's to forget. When Jesus cleansed the 10 lepers, how many came back to give thanks? Man, one. So I think we could all agree, a lot of times there's a problem in this area in our lives. We fail to remember God, even though it's our duty. It is far from our nature. It's far from our habit. As in Romans 1:28, Paul says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge," they didn't remember their Creator, "God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting." So Solomon is saying, listen, remembering God, remembering our Creator is directly linked. It is tied permanently with every godly exercise in our lives. Our accountability unto Him, wanting to do all things that are pleasing unto Him, recognizing that there is no escaping God. He sees all things. He knows all things. And our hearts should be open and honest, not only to Him, but to His Word. In 2 Corinthians 5:1 through 2, it says that we know if our earthly house, this tent, talking of our body, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. Aren't you glad that every day is not lost that's spent living for the Lord? I mean, that's the truth. We waste so many days not waking up and remembering our Creator. We wake up and we do a whole lot of other things first, then enter a quiet time, enter a time of prayer, enter a time to remember our Creator who sustains us and who created us. And what happens is where we neglect God, where we neglect the study of His Word, which is commanded, well, that is the area where we lose our capacity to be joyful, because we can only have the joy of the Lord, which is our strength, if we're in a living relationship with Him. If Because joy is only found through the Lord. It's not found on this earth. It certainly isn't found through great possessions. The richest man who's ever lived has told us that repeatedly and repeatedly, saying, listen, it's all vanity. I've had it all. I've had the food and the singers and the palaces, everything man could ever ask for. But apart from God, it means nothing. Apart from God, the ability to enjoy it is non-existent. So we remember our relationship to God because He is our Creator. But a second reason that we see here in verse 2, and we're going to read 1 again, is because difficult times will come. Isn't that encouraging? Difficult times will come, guys. Difficult times will come. Don't believe anyone else who says if you just have enough faith, every day is going to be, you know, walking on cloud 9. Listen, that's someone who does not know the Word of God, loved one. He doesn't listen to what even the words of Jesus saying, hey, the world's going to hate you. Isn't that encouraging? Well, it is if you know that in Christ we've overcome the world. Changes everything. But we're taught to remember God. Why? Well, because difficult days were come. He says, remember now your Creator and the days of your youth. We start now, and as we're young teenagers who are here tonight, it says, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are not darkened and the clouds do not return after the rain. Difficult times. He says they're going to come, but also in the sense of old age, of growing old. We really have a graphic description here of growing old. I think it's going to bless you seniors. Verse 3, it's okay to have fun tonight, guys. Pastor Bill's not here. Anyway, verse 3, it says, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble. What does that mean? Speaking of your hands or your arms, okay? We're looking at old age here. And the strong men bow down. That is our legs giving out. You can't move the same as you used to. How about this? When the grinders cease because they are few. Anyone know what that's talking about? Our teeth, yes. Don't tell me God's word doesn't have humor. Come on. And those that look through the windows grow dim. Of course, we're talking about our eyes there. Solomon says, listen, you remember God in the days of your youth. Now, not later. Why? Because difficult days, they're coming. Difficult days are ahead in which you will not function how you used to. And if you are not rooted and grounded in the truth of God's word, you're going to be a miserable, old prune of a person. Amen. I mean, let's just call it like it is. I have met people in the evening of their days, very old, and they've had the joy of the Lord. And I have also met people in the evening of their days who says, Thomas, if you've learned anything from me, die before you're 80. Well, luckily, she found the joy of the Lord, and she lived to her 90s, and it was a really neat thing. Difficult days are ahead. And the people who have lost the joy of living, those who say here they have no pleasure in everyday life, according to God, according to His Word, they are the ones who have not remembered their Creator. They have forgotten from whence they come. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:16, therefore we don't lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, right? Things are falling apart. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. So growing old with the Lord is a beautiful thing, amen? Even if you're falling apart on the outside, man, growing old with the Lord is a beautiful thing because the Lord, not life, which Solomon says is vanity, it's meaningless. The Lord Himself is what sustains life. And we miss that. And then difficult days come and we're not ready for them because we haven't built our house on the rock. Look in verse 4. When the doors are shut in the streets, speaking of our ears, any hearing aids out there? Praise God. And the sound of grinding is low, meaning the loss of teeth affects one's speech. Have you ever talked to somebody that didn't have their dentures in? You know what I mean? I'm not being mean. I mean, it's a hard thing to understand. Amen? Well, I have trouble with it. Maybe you can teach me. when one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of music are brought low. So they have a loss of hearing here. You are losing access to the world. The things that brought you enjoyment, the things that you love to do, that you said, man, this really satisfies me, they don't any longer. Why? Because you can't respond to them like you used to. So if you think that joy is going to be found in what you possess or in the things of the world or in the pleasures of the world, listen, you're up for a really rude awakening. You're going to be miserable. Why? We haven't remembered our Creator. We don't have our accountability under the Lord. You can't respond to things like you used to. And what happens? You're going to be discouraged. Instead of renewing your mind day by day, you're going to be focused on everything falling apart, worrying about the things that you can't change in your health. And then in verse 5, you know, many scholars say about this one little section here that it is the most depressing passage. But it's really the most depressing passage for people who do not walk with the Lord. It's not depressing at all if you're walking with God. Amen? Amen. I mean, come on. The joy of the Lord is our strength, even in our weakness. His grace is the avenue that can flow through us and provide us the inner and spiritual strength that we need. Man, that's the God that we serve. Look, also they are afraid of height and of tares in the way. You guys know any old people afraid of heights? How about afraid of travel? Yeah, that's what they're talking about here, tares in the way. When the almond tree blossoms, that's talking about gray hair, ladies. The grasshopper is a burden, meaning just the slightest amount of weight is difficult for you. You have trouble even walking. And desire fails. I think we understand that. The Septuagint actually says in this verse here, it says the caperberry fails. And the caperberry was a stimulus not only to the appetite, but it was used as an aphrodisiac. So it wasn't, nothing's working how it should be is what he's saying. Everything's falling apart. For man goes to his eternal home and the mourners go about the streets, meaning death. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loose or the golden bowl is broken or the pitcher shattered at the fountain or the wheel broken at the well. Now, obviously, a gold bowl and a silver cord are very different, right? That's an unusual statement. But remember, we're dealing with Hebrew poetry. And so Solomon here, he's speaking at the value, the preciousness of life. Even with water, is water something that's essential to sustain life? Absolutely, we have to have it. So difficult times, they're going to come, no doubt. Get ready for them. But we have to remember our Creator so we don't lose our joy. Because why? Life is but a vapor. You see, if you're living for the future, you're going to be end up in a lot of disappointment. We only have right now to live for God, the things that we need to do for the Lord, the things that He has told us or laid upon our heart, the commandments that we find in His Word, we cannot delay. We only have right now, and we don't know if the Lord will come for us before I finish preaching this evening. I hope He does. Or He may come tomorrow. Or maybe tomorrow will be our last day here as individuals. You never know. It comes unexpectedly, death does. But Solomon, throughout the entire book of Ecclesiastes, he has made us face the reality of death. It's the great equalizer. We all have to face it. But I'm glad that death has lost its sting as for a believer. The third reason here, we're to remember our Creator. It's verse 7. It's because death, it's going to end any opportunities that you have. It's going to end any dreams, any ambitions that you have planned for in your life. It says, then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. You see, that's the end, guys. That's the end. We have from point A to point B, and so this is the end of our earthly history. It's the exact opposite or a reversal of Genesis 2:7 that says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and became a living being. See, death eliminates any opportunities that we may have, any goals and ambitions. Listen, once we die, it's over. There's nothing else that we can do. If we're going to live for the Lord, we have to live for Him today. We We have to remember our Creator now. Amen. Oh, how important that is. Remembering goes far beyond just remembering a fact, but it's about our accountability unto Him to be willing servants, doulos, unto the Lord. Before, the fourth reason here, we remember our relationship to God every day of our lives, not just one day, but every day, is because all earthly pursuits are meaningless apart from God. Isn't that hard to understand? You know, sometimes we really think that once we get that job or once we get the right person in our lives or we get accepted to the right college and we get our degree, you know, we think, hey, that's when it's going to be all right. That's when I'm going to get right with God. And that's not how it works. You see, you're not going to enjoy anything that you do in this life apart from God because He's the giver of joy. He's the one who sustains us. If you're promoted in this life, guess who promoted you? God. If you're demoted in this life, guess who demoted you? God. Do you believe that God has a purpose for everything that He does? Well, if you do, if you believe He is actively involved in His creation, if you believe He's in control, well, then He has to have a purpose. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. The good work that He started in you, He's going to complete. What happens? We forget our Creator. We forget where we came from. We forgot that we've been bought at a price, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, made to glorify God, bring glory to His name, and point all people that we meet to Jesus. But look at this, these earthly pursuits, verse 8. It's all vanity of vanity, says the preacher. All is vanity. I think the NIV says, fleeting, fleeting, everything is fleeting. Solomon, a man who had more wisdom than anyone who's ever lived, largeness of heart like the sand of the seashore, a great understanding God gave him. He took an inventory of the whole world. He studied folly and madness and everything in between and all of the best things that life had to offer. And he says, listen, it all adds up to nothing. The sum total is vanity. It's meaninglessness. It's fleeting. Yet many of us, many believers are going to wake up tomorrow and they're going to decide what life has to offer is meaningful. And they're going to forget their Creator. They're going to forget the relationship with God. Because in the natural man, is there a tendency to forget the Lord? Absolutely there is, especially when what? When things are going well. Man, that's when we should worship the Lord the most. Not when just things are bad. That's not when we want to run to Him. We should run to Him, of course. That's not what I'm saying. But when times are good, man, we should be in fellowship with the Lord. So important about remembering the Lord. And you know, that's the same warning Moses gave the Israelites before entering Canaan. He said, you don't forget the Lord. You don't forget His statutes. Don't forget His commandments. Because it is in the natural man to forget God, not remember our Creator. The second point that we see here is we realize our reliance on God and His wisdom. That's verses 9 through 12. Do you go to God first for advice? Do you go to Him first for counsel? Or if an opportunity comes your way, whether it's a job or anything else in between, do you call your best friend first? Or do you call your prayer partner? Or do you talk to your spouse? It's convicting, isn't it? It convicts me. It's so easy to make decisions in our lives and run forward with something that seems so seemingly great and right. And in the process, we have forgotten our Creator. Look in verse 9. He says, moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. There's a lot here. Solomon says he pondered. It's a rare Hebrew word, not used often at all. It means careful evaluation. Then he says he sought out. Well, sought out means diligent research. It means diligent study. It wasn't just a brief thing. He put all of his energy and wisdom from the Lord in this. And then it says he set to order. He arranged carefully. And all this is saying, Solomon is saying to us here in verse 9, that he intensely labored with all of his heart under the guide of God's wisdom. He put everything into one thing. and that's to teach what God has to say, His wisdom. And that's what we need for our lives, as we know that the wisdom is the application of God's holiness in everything that we think, everything that we say, and everything that we do. Aren't you glad we know from the book of James that He gives it freely, without reproach? He's not going to rebuke you for what you don't know, but when we ask for the wisdom of God and we ask in faith, what happens? He gives it to us. That divine attribute of God that, according to Proverbs 8, predates creation is available unto us. Have we asked for it? Have we sought the Lord and His wisdom in all the decisions that we make? Verse 10 says, the preacher sought to find acceptable, that's delightful or pleasant words. And what was written was upright, or it was pure words of truth. Regarding this verse here, verse 10, one of my favorite commentators, Michael A. Eaton, wrote a wonderful, very short but very powerful commentary in the book of Ecclesiastes. And regarding this verse, he says this. He says, to be upright but unpleasant is to be a fool. To be pleasant but not upright is to be a charlatan, an imposter. Man, how true is that? Do we have a vertical relationship with God, or are we only relating to God on the horizontal? It's really easy to do that. We only relate to God on Sundays or Wednesdays when we're in church. We talk about Him between our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, but the relationship with Him is only horizontal. It's not vertical. We don't have a quiet time. We don't have a prayer time. We don't truly remember our Creator. We think that it's something we're going to do later in life. And Solomon says, listen, you do it now. You do it in the days of your youth. You do it before the difficult days come, because they will. But God is there for us. We need to recognize that. When we look at our need to rely on God's word, man, we said, listen, His words are comforting. He's the God of all comfort. He brings us peace in the midst of the storm. But they're also pure. You see, God can't compromise His holiness. Sin has to be dealt with. It has to be dealt with. That's why when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, what did He give unto us? Yes, the gift of salvation, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So that when God sees you, He sees Jesus. And that changes everything. And so this verse is saying, listen, we have to have moral character. We have to have purity of heart if we're truly upright, if we're truly being truthful, if we're truly remembering our Creator. But we also see in verse 11 our need to rely upon God by the importance or the power behind His words. Don't you know God's word is powerful? Don't you know it's alive? It's the one thing that can change our hearts and our minds, and it can set people free. He says the words of the wise are like goads, those long sticks with a metal point. Remember, they used for animals to prod them. And the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. As I've heard Bill say before, God's word doesn't just comfort the afflicted, right? It afflicts the comfortable. Amen? Well, I get convicted by God's word. I guess y'all don't, but I do. I get convicted every time I teach. Why? Because we're all a bunch of clay pots. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, but what's the treasure? Well, it's Jesus. So if anything is shining in our lives, if anything is good, it's from the Lord. It's not from us, as we should be a reflection of Him. 2 Timothy, Paul tells us in 3:16-17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. He breathed it. And is profitable, it says, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Could it be the reason we're not ready for the good works that God has for us is because we're not in the study of His word? It could be, amen. How important that is, because it says God's word is like a goad, man. It's going to correct us. It's going to shape our lives. See, we're not complete without God's word. We're missing something. But there's a personal response that's needed here. It says, God's word is also like well-driven nails. Now, what is he saying there? Well-driven nails. Solomon knew something about nails. You can read Chronicles and see he had many out of gold. What a problem to have, amen? Okay, I guess y'all don't like gold. If you're into platinum, that's fine too, loved one. I'm just letting you know. What are we talking about here? We're talking about how God's word provides something in our lives, and that's stability. We have a firm foundation. You see, God's word is like nails that hold down a tent. It keeps it in place. As Ephesians 6:15 says, "And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Remember, in a Roman soldier's armor, the feet or the sandals that one would wear would have spikes on them. Why? To keep them firmly planted, to make them immovable. And Solomon is telling us here that God's word stabilizes our lives. So when the dark days come, not if, but when the storm comes, those dark days, we have built our house on the rock and not the sand. So there is a stability that comes through God's word. So we need to respond to God's word. He's saying it's like a goad. We need stability in our lives, and that's what God's word does. It's like well-driven nails, amen? But we have to recognize its authority. And this is something that God has exalted above his very name, his word. It says it's given by, in verse 11, one shepherd. You see, we're not the shepherd, amen? We're the sheep. And God's word, and listen, it corrects us, it molds us, it changes our lives. Verse 12 says, "And further, my son, be admonished by these things. Of making many books, there's no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh." That's a life verse for many high school and college students right there. I do my homework, Mom, but God's word says much study is wearisome to the flesh, right? Oh, praise you, Jesus. I'm thirsty. I'm going to go get my water. You know, we used to have glasses under here that were open. And one time I was teaching, we had this big wood lectern. I miss it. I felt real safe behind it, you know. Anyway, we had this big wood lectern, and I go and I grab my cup. I take a sip and I put it back. I missed the shelf. And did you know that entire cup of water fell in my shoe? The whole thing. No one knew, though. How cool was that? I mean, no one knew. You could really hide it behind this. These days, we just throw it on the stage. It's okay. Let's look at it again. My son, be admonished by these. Of making many books, there's no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. Wearisome to the body. It's without satisfaction to the soul. What are we talking about there? Well, it's not God's word, because God's words bring life. But the other books in this world, the wisdom that is from the world, it is endless and it is wearisome. You can read some of these self-help books, and I tell you what, you need more help at the end of the book than you did at the beginning. It's wearisome. It's much study, man. The wisdom of the world, is it not wearisome? It's tiresome. It's exhausting. Why? Because there's nothing there to sustain us. There's nothing there to feed our souls. The wisdom of the world is not going to goad you. It is not going to stabilize you. It's not going to nail you down in the truth of God's word, and neither will God's word do that if we are never reading it, if we're never studying it, if we don't have that quiet time with God, if we don't remember our Creator. And finally, in verse 13, what we have learned is to recognize our responsibility or accountability to God. He says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all," or his everything. And the entire book of Ecclesiastes, verse 13 here, chapter 12, is the only time the commandments of God are mentioned. It says we first fear God. Then it says we keep his commandments. So Solomon is telling us that knowledge of God does something. It leads to obedience. It leads to an obedient heart, because worship always comes before conduct. Conduct doesn't come before worship. You say, "Well, I'm going to do right, and then I'm going to go worship the Lord." That's not how it works. We remember our Creator. We worship him, and he's the one that gives us the ability through the power of the Holy Spirit to be guided by him. So a knowledge of God is what leads to obedience. It's not vice versa. And Solomon said, that is your all. That is what truly gives meaning to our lives. How important, how necessary is it to recognize our accountability to God as His children? Well, it is paramount. It's everything because it prepares us, according to verse 14, to meet God. Are you ready to meet God? Look in verse 14. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Man, that's powerful. As the deacons and the ushers go ahead and prepare the elements here, we'll continue in our study. But we have to all ask ourselves a question, and it's, are we prepared to meet God? If we die tonight, are we ready to meet the Lord our God, our Creator? Because I tell you what, we don't know how long we have. I've seen people live long lives, and I've seen people that the doctor says they're the healthiest specimen I've ever seen, and they died a week later. God is the one who sustains life, and we don't know how long we have, but we do know that we are called to live for Him every day. I don't want a horizontal relationship with God. I want a vertical relationship with God. That's what He desires for us. He doesn't desire just to have something that's not sincere or not genuine or something that's ritualistic. We don't have to go through a man or go to a special place to access God. All we have to do is go to Him in prayer. Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 4:5, he says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart, then each one's praise, it says, will come from God. And so we can look at that. We can say Solomon has told us over and over that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. But you see, now he's saying it's also the end. It's the conclusion. There's nothing greater than fearing the Lord and keeping His commandments. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians 7:1, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness, it says, in the fear of God. So we are urged to keep His commandments. But never forget that the order that He tells us in which to do this is crucial. He says, fear and keep. Fear comes first. How awesome is our God? Recognizing that He is the Lord our God and our Creator. Man, we're just the sheep in His pasture. But He is the Good Shepherd. Aren't you glad God's Word corrects us? That it prods us? Well, why? Because as a father corrects his son whom he loves, does the Father, the God of all, is He not going to do so to His own children? Absolutely He does. It's an act of love. Because He wants to have a living relationship with us. You see, that's living life with a living God. It starts with fearing Him. And that's when everything else really starts to fall into place. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my brethren, my beloved brethren, he says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Man, we have so much to do for Him while it's still day. He says, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Isn't that a good news? We may feel like it's in vain. You know, we do a lot sometimes in the corporate world, right? And we say, what's the point of any of it? You know, I have friends that say, you know, I did all this, and then my boss came, made us redo it all over again. It wasn't even what he wanted, because he didn't give us the right instructions. You know, it's a funny world, isn't it? But anything that we do is under the Lord. Is it in vain? No. Anyone that we minister to is under the Lord and show His love. Is that in vain? No. The Lord will reward you. The Lord is going to pay back, not just in this life, but in the life to come. Do you believe that? Man, I do. That takes a lot of pressure off, doesn't it? You realize, man, I'm on God's economy. It doesn't matter about mine. The blessing of the Lord is what makes one rich, not how much money is in our bank account. And the ability to enjoy your money in the bank account only comes from the Lord. The ability to even make money, the work of our hands, everything comes from the Lord. But we never see that when we don't fear Him, when we don't remember our Creator. You see, tonight as we partake of the Lord's Supper, we could just dim the lights a little bit as I'm having trouble seeing. I'm sorry. It's a way of remembering our Creator. Amen? Amen? Amen. It says in 1 Corinthians 11:23, it says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And then when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in the remembrance of me.'" Let us partake. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in the remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us partake. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, for the admonition, the wisdom, and the truth that truly is like a goad to us. God, we thank you that we find that in your word. We thank you that you haven't given up on us, even though we sometimes give up on ourselves. But Lord, if we don't fear you, we never enter into worship. We never enter into the fellowship that you desire to have with us. For we're your people. And you saved us. You made us a new creation. God, forgive us for not renewing our minds daily. Father, forgive us for allowing fear of man to stop us from fearing you and standing up for what your word says. Forgive us, Father God, for trying to have a horizontal relationship with you, only relating to you through other Christians and maybe in church once in a while, but never in the private time of study and prayer. Lord, let us truly see, especially the youth tonight, as they crack their communion glasses. I ask for forgiveness for the disrespect, first and foremost, Father God, as we partake of the Lord's Supper. Forgive them for being disrespectful in this holy time. In the name of Jesus. But Lord, let the youth especially remember that today is the day to remember their Creator. That the only time that they truly have is now. Let us not be ignorant and prideful and putting off the things that you say in your word are vital and are necessary. Lord, help us always to remember you, our Creator. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you stand to your feet with me this evening?